This week on The Pot Roast, The Anarchist Cookbook makes for good reading if you like blowing things up, but if you want to get high, it's going to leave you wanting. Marilyn Monroe is deceased, the juice is on the loose, baby shakers are a controversial subject with Apple, Grand Theft Auto is a place you can obey the rules if you should so feel inclined. Getting stoned on roller coasters can make them feel more intense, and Magic the Gathering erupts in an orgy of violence, including mallets and knives to the face. I'm with Cuba.
That's the one.
He's in the just zone.
You're goddamn worried.
If you don't say it at full volume, it only gets creepier.
I just put a piece of fucking fabric between my ass cheeks and I call it good.
And we're done for the day.
We can't put out a banger every fucking time.
Just finger blast your cousin. There's nothing wrong with it.
My name is Darius and I'm a horse with
what?
Deborah.
Dick is always warm. Here we go.
What? Chester die again?
Fuck.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Who's Chester?
No. No, I can't go down that road.
I think we should. We need to open up the hate mail flow.
We're gonna have to because I.
I never liked Linkin Park.
Oh, damn.
And I didn't like when Linkin Park was in the park.
Oh my god, you're totally that fucking like internet troll who's like, I don't care if this guy died. I didn't like his
I didn't
music.
Say that.
I fucking I hate Linkin Park. That has no bearing over how I feel about the dude.
I didn't say anything about
all right,
the dude.
Well, when Dennis Rodman dies, we're not going to care, right?
No, I will care.
I'm going to care.
So what do you guys want to talk about?
So like all great drunk posts you make that you delete later, I did not remember doing this. I woke up, realized I was hungover and it was going to be that day. And I get a text from my friend saying, yeah, the FBI just called me. You got to check your Facebook right now and get rid of this shit. And I was like, what? I go on and apparently I got home and I copy pasted a recipe from the Anarchist Cookbook. And
what? On
Facebook wall.
When was this?
7 years ago.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And so like the FBI hadn't called him. He was just being a dick. But
that's amazing.
Yeah. Like that.
So
was,
you're going to have to correct this.
Yeah. I look at it. I'm like, what the fuck? Like I did this last night.
Do you remember what the recipe was for?
A bomb.
I don't know, but reading it, it felt like you were just reading Fight Club. Mix 30 gallons of this with that. And you know, put it out here and, you know, make a wish.
I remember the Anarchist Cookbook was going around when we were in like middle school, high school. And I was like, all right.
There was actually a documentary that recently came out with the guy that wrote that. And like the Anarchist Cookbook, you can buy
the what now?
The Anarchist
the
Cookbook.
Antichrist Cookbook.
The Adirondack.
The Adirondack Cookbook. No, the Anarchist Cookbook, like you can just buy on Amazon now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even seem like, oh.
Oh, it's not nearly as exciting.
Not so
like,
punk rock.
Yeah. I remember getting it on a floppy disk.
The guy,
it's not very punk rock if you get it with free 2-day shipping and shit like that.
And the guy that wrote it, like all the info in it, he took from stuff he found like at the library.
Wow.
Like it was all just
he just collected the data.
Yeah,
it was already out there.
He just asked firefighters, like, "Hey, how do you do this?
How do you blow shit up if you really want
it?" And it was kind of interesting hearing him talk about like when he was writing it and getting all the flack that he got for it.
And he reformed later, right?
Huh?
Yeah, didn't he like denounce everything he did?
Massive
Christian.
Oh, so you mean he grew up?
Yeah. And he
also became an adult. He got a checking account.
Like, I don't know if I'd called converting growing up.
And he was also saying like. He didn't. His whole purpose for it was not for people to start blowing up shit. Which
what?
You made a big book of bomb making. Like, yeah. How was your intention not to have people blow shit up?
He said it was supposed to be just to put information out there so people were aware of what people in the military and shit could do.
Sure.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, yeah, because I didn't know the military could blow things up, but now that I know a very precise recipe on how to do it,
yeah.
Oh shit, the military's blowing shit up. Fine logic, sir.
And it was interesting how the documentary went because the guy that was interviewing him kind of was asking him these questions like, okay, you're saying this now and you're kind of backpedaling what you most likely initially wanted that book to be for.
It sounds like he got himself a good lawyer at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, he actually doesn't even own the rights to anything in that book anymore because he signed some stupid deal And he just didn't care. So some other publishing company owns the rights to...
A publishing company owns the rights to Anarchist Cookbook. Wow. Yeah, yeah, I thought it was just open source bullshit. I thought it was just kind
of... Yeah, he fucked that up. I'm sure he kept those rights.
From Random House.
Apparently he did, he did make like...
The New York Times just...
Who would do that? Who would do the opening to that book if they got the... Like, who would do the...
With a new foreword bio.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever deal he did, he only got like 15 grand, but now that it's being sold on Amazon, he's probably like, fuck.
If I see your book on the shelf of my friend's house and you only got 15 grand, you done fucked up.
Chump.
Even during that time when you would find like those random PDFs, like the Anarchist Cookbook, there was a lot of weird shit you could find. Like one about drying banana peels and then smoking the dried up banana peels.
Oh yeah, I had friends who did that.
Yeah, I do remember finding a lot of things like make your own drugs. That was a very I think that's always a very big deal.
Yeah,
kids smoke anything, they'll huff anything. Kids are idiots. It's horrible.
Because drugs are just that good.
Yeah.
If you can't get your hands on the real thing, just fake it. Fake it till you make it.
I
think that's how meth existed. I don't know, but
they're like, I don't know, let's just mix up all this shit and see what happens.
That would have been scary. It's like just starting mixing stuff that can definitely explode.
Oh, yeah. Usually does.
I need to smoke something that might be explosive.
I remember somebody said if you like the shitty version of meth, which is what the fuck does that say? But they said something along the lines of taking a screen, like a window screen, spraying it down with a can of Raid, and there was some other ingredient that you'd spray, and then you would electrocute the screen. And scrape that off, and you could smoke it.
Mm.
So if any of our listeners have some extra time on their hands, maybe we could
get some feedback. Like a special episode of Giada, where she like makes fucking meth on a screen.
Not that we promote.
Yeah, I think we need to apologize to Karen. Yeah. Once again.
Fuck Karen. I wasn't here for that. My consensus listening back to that episode is fuck Karen.
Yeah. Glad you're able to finally weigh in on this, because we were all just...
We are united.
Hanging on pins and needles, like, what would Emily say about all this? Now we know.
Earlier we talked about, so we've gotten requests for merch, and we might have to do a limited run of fuck Karen shirts.
Just a few, just like maybe 10. 10, 15 fuck Karen shirts.
We'll sell them.
I'll send
$40
to Karen for free.
I'd buy one.
That's sweet.
Care of us.
I think hers should just say fuck me, though.
No, because that would be promoting promiscuity.
Yeah, I was going to say I heart drugs and promiscuity.
That would be on the back.
I actually love that tagline. I think that's an excellent tagline.
Man. You love that the Anarchist Cookbook went from being this controversial thing to cultural literary history.
Yeah.
It's not a controversial thing to own it. Oh, well, yeah, I was just interested in the
it's
history
like having
of
a,
the 90s.
It's like having a copy of Catcher in the Rye and shit. It's like kind of a controversial book, but it's like, it's just everybody's kind of got it now.
Yeah, it looks too nice now that they've gone through the different publishers.
Did they like make a nice like cover for it and everything?
Yeah.
You know those old style covers they always have at Barnes & Noble where it's like, oh, buy Moby Dick or buy...
The encyclopedia hard book style.
Can you imagine how much worse Anarchist Cookbook would be, though, if they made it look like a shitty DIY?
You can buy it at Barnes & Noble, too.
Jesus. And you grab a scone while you learn how to make napalm and shit.
Having some coffee. And,
grab a... Natalie Imbruglia CD.
Flip through the latest issue of Teen Beat.
It's only got 3.5 stars on Amazon, though. So
all right.
You know, it's going down.
Not the hot
shit. Not a real page turner.
500.
Terrible character development. The third act that just falls apart.
Couldn't use any of these explosives of drugs either. So.
Yeah.
Couldn't smoke any of these bombs.
These bombs suck.
Yeah. None of the napalm got me high at all.
A solid 7 out of 10. Cool bombs, shitty drugs.
7 out of 10, wouldn't smoke again.
Like, look, it's not about full anarchy. It's just the bombs. Like,
Anarchy light.
Anarchy light, L-I-T-E.
You ever read any of The Anarchist, like Emma Goldman, when that was like a huge thing back
in the... I didn't read all of it, but like perusing through.
Yeah, it's never a sustainable philosophy.
Not really.
No, it doesn't because human nature, it's, well, okay, first of all, like just a preface all of this. Like, I'm the biggest fan. SLC Punk is one of my favorite movies, but he sums up like, yeah, he sums up like punk's belief in anarchy, like at the end, which is like anarchy. It's not sustainable. Like, it's not a thing. Human nature prevents anarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it just doesn't happen. It's a punk rock as fuck idea, but it doesn't pan out.
It is. And then like formal anarchy, like, is not necessarily anti, like, it's generally socialist. A lot of it. Like,
it is. It's absolutely
like,
yeah,
the state is not society. And yes, like, so pull together and work with your community. Yes. That shit. You're like, all right, but then you're still kind of,
well, it's
like
the punk mentality is the same thing. Like, I grew up in the metal scene, like heavily involved in the metal scene, and it's a very family oriented kind of group. And I think we talked about Juggalos already.
Oh yeah, we covered the Juggalos.
But you know what I mean? They're all, they're family oriented groups where it's like each group kind of like strongly believes like fuck the government, fuck, you know, organize this and that. But it is very socialist. Like, everybody takes care of each other and everybody makes sure that everybody. We had a friend of ours that had this like hotline that you could call up if you didn't have a place to stay. You know, he's like, call us up and, you know, we'll make sure you have a roof over your head tonight. Or if you're looking for work,
the
we'll let you know.
Six hotline.
Yeah, basically, it's just like, call this number. They'll charge you $60. Yeah, I think every single kid, though, gets fed up with the idea of government and just what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting literature to go through. Yeah. When you read Emma Goldman, your dick is going to get so hard. It's like reading Ayn Rand, but it's good.
But good?
Yeah.
It's not going to make you want to blow your brains out.
Yeah, yeah.
Any of you see this recent video of these kids watching this old man drown? And they were just,
oh my god, are we really going to touch on this? Fuck.
I just think that it's so fucked up.
I did not see this video.
For anybody, for anyone listening, I'm sure everybody caught at least. Well, you didn't. Yeah, I guess most people heard about this story.
I live under a fucking rock, though.
You do. You live on the moon.
This is the only time I come out.
No, there was a story that came out this past week about a group of three teenage boys who ended up... they watched and they recorded as this man slowly drowned.
Yeah. And they were laughing and
they
shit.
They were laughing and they were just making fun of him. And he ended up dying. And it was a super slow death too. At any point, yeah, like, these kids could have intervened or they could have called someone.
Yeah.
It's just fucking miserable. And I don't know what's to be said about that. If you don't understand. And I know that that's harsh. There's so many people who are out there for reform and stuff. And I think maybe at this stage of my life, like, maybe I'll be more of an adult where I'm more compassionate and I have more empathy for people. But the empathy that I have for the man that drowned, the empathy I have for the man that suffered when something could have been done, all of my empathy goes towards him. They can't summon up anything where I'm like, you just need to teach these boys. You just need to, you know, they could be productive members of society. I look at them and I just go, they didn't mean
it. You shouldn't
it.
Have like, to teach them, like, empathy. No. Yeah. Like, empathy. That's, you either have it or you don't.
That's what I mean. So I'm like...
And it's gross there was a group of them, too.
And that's the thing, because teenagers especially boys and in these groups, they tend to feed off of, if it was one kid, who knows if each one of them individually would have reacted that way. Mm. But when you have this kind of group setting, I think that it's a lot easier.
There's probably like an alpha or something, kind of the unspoken leader of the group is like, man, fuck this guy. This is funny. Let's record it for YouTube. Yeah. So everybody else just kind of falls
they
in
line.
They
feel like it's okay. It's easier to feel more okay with that situation when you see the alpha of the group or somebody you may look up to, even in the slightest bit as a kid. Like, if you look up to this person and that guy doesn't give a shit, it's a lot easier to think like, okay, I shouldn't give a shit about this. But no matter what, at your core as a human being, if you can't figure out what's wrong with that scenario, you didn't make it. Like, it's time to get rid of you. You didn't make it in
this
world.
You don't make the cut.
And not only that, but I mean, what has this done to their parents, if their parents even give a shit? If their parents care. But I'm saying, if their parents do care, what has it done to their world? Every single person in the world is looking at them going, what the fuck did you do with these kids? Like, with this kid, what'd you do? And
not
it's
much.
Could
no,
you
not
have been
much.
More of a failure?
Yeah, could you have failed more as a parent?
I almost feel like they're going to be those kind of parents where they're like, oh, I can't believe my son's like in jail or whatever.
He's such a, no, but a lot of the time you get the like, he's such a sweet boy. He would never do anything like this. And it's like, all right.
You know, well, we have him on video doing exactly that.
I do have sympathy for the parents that genuinely thought that they had a better kid. I've got a little bit of sympathy for them. But the fact is, like, they usually just don't know who their kids are hanging out with. Mm. They don't know the kind of influences in their life. And they should have been more present. And that's not like a full judgment on their life. It's just they should have done that. They should have been more present. So I do have sympathy for the parents that genuinely... They're like, it shouldn't have taken that realization for them to be like, oh, my kid's shit.
At that point, what could save the parent in my mind is if it was like, no, my kid's a fucking asshole. He's out robbing shit. Like, fuck him. Kill him.
Give him the chair. I hope they give him the chair. Is he even in trouble? Yeah. Give him the chair anyway.
Get him out of here.
Speaking of the chair, there's people
the chair!
There's people that have been wanting the guillotine to come back. because they think it's going to be more.
I would love that.
They think it's it's more humane than like the chair or like the injection, which
yeah.
I think
maybe
it's more badass.
It might be quicker.
It's definitely more metal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd be like, fuck the guillotine. Over. Give me an actual, like, headsman.
Yeah.
You know, like with
I want a headsman.
Giant ass fucking axe.
Yeah.
The problem with that is it could
just have
miss
that dude
and, like,
who
get...
plays the mountain.
The mountain, I was just going to say. I just want the fucking mountain, dude. No. All of it, you always know what's happening in my brain. Like, I want the mountain to be that guy.
In fact, no axe. He just smashes your
head
between his palms.
Your head.
Okay, now this was supposed to be a humane way to die with the guillotine. I don't know if smashing
someone's head.
I feel like you really want to discourage people from doing things that might result in that punishment.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I think that's the thing is that a lot of people, especially far back in history, like people realized a long time ago that there's it's harder to reconcile, as a human being, it's harder to reconcile with the threat of torture than it is to reconcile with the threat of death.
Yeah.
Because you're like, fuck it, I'm out. Like, I don't give a shit anyway. Like, fuck this dumb life. Like,
yeah.
That's a lot easier for people.
Understand, we can make this worse for you.
Yeah, if people are like, if you do this thing, we're not going to be, there's no human, like, we're removing the humanity from your life. Like, we're going to take that away and we're just going to torture you.
Yeah.
That's the scariest fucking thing you can ever do.
We're just going to, like, start pulling your toes off and shit like that. Yeah. It's going to be
gonna
dark.
We're just going to cut your fingers
off.
Not going
to be
like,
fun
it's
for
gonna,
you.
It's going to be a huge bummer.
So don't fuck around.
So don't do it.
Yeah. I wonder if we had, like, these public beheadings, if that would deter people from doing fucked up shit, because they see a beheading, they're like, everyone has to watch
this. Well,
I happen.
Don't
okay.
want that.
So
I mean,
let's
it,
go.
It does. It kind of makes your society a total shithole.
Exactly.
Because I mean, like, they do have this in, like,
yes.
other parts
this
of the world.
This is definitely something that still exists.
These are always backwards ass fucking.
But what I was going to say, that's why I'm not against public deaths. I'm not against that, but I am all about public putting people back in the stocks. I love the idea of putting people back in the stocks. I am so excited about this. Like, all I want to do is have, and I want this to be a citywide thing. Like, every city, like, in front of City Hall.
And if you can't afford your own produce, they'll just have, like, they'll set up, like, a little Trader Joe's kiosk.
Monsanto will be there.
Right next door.
They'll be selling hot dogs.
Yeah. Monsanto will have their tomato booth.
I love the idea of, just in front of City Hall.
Farmers markets.
Every weekend. Exactly. There's
oh, my God, that's the best place to
man.
Do it.
There's a farmer's market downtown every weekend. I'm like, I know I gotta go, like, I should be buying my produce local, like, it should be, you know, I should do that, like, fuck Trader Joe's, like, let's go buy local. But I'm like, but it's Saturday, and I'm like, I'm kind of hungover, I don't really want to go out. But if you're like, the stocks are out today.
Yeah, the stocks are out. And like, that kid that watched that guy drown is
and I'm
I am
like,
so
I'm there.
There.
I'm waking
like,
up at
tomato.
6 a.m. on Saturday with a hangover. I don't give a
girl,
shit.
I'm gonna go get some fresh ass persimmons, and then I'm gonna throw some tomatoes at that criminal fuck. It's gonna be a good morning.
Yeah. It's gonna be good.
Yeah, they had things figured out, I guess, in some ways that we fucked up.
Yeah, it's true. I don't think public shamings. I love public shaming.
So in Game of Thrones, spoiler alert, when Cersei does the whole walk of shame, like, you were like, no, you deserve
shame.
That.
Shame. Yeah.
Shame.
At a minimum.
that's.
I thought she got off easy. I don't know if people like,
she got off really
light. Like, I feel. I'm like, it's a fucking.
Actually, that's kind
of
an important point that you brought up. Now that I think about it, I don't ever think that's okay, even in that kind of a situation. I don't think it's okay to sexually shame somebody. The fact that she was naked was the one thing I was against. Her, if she was just being drugged through the city where everyone was fucking throwing shit at her, like, literally, that's fucking tight. I actually...
But the sexual shaming was a big part of the mind job.
Oh, definitely was.
And the nature of her crime, too.
Yes, the nature of her crime was why they did it,
I don't know if they got too much into the show, but she was, like, manipulating and seducing people into killing people. It was like, fuck you, bitch.
I definitely agree with that. I think, I just
think... mostly just because she was banging her brother, right?
No, it was her cousin. Not a brother. Like, that's all speculation as far as they're concerned. They're like, we can't prove that.
Oh, but for sure
cousin.
She banged it. Yeah, her cousin, because her cousin was like, we were fucking
forward,
for a little bit. Yeah.
But there was a
whole... kept trying to get her to change otherwise,
There was like, I don't know if this was in the show or just in the books. There was all the, like, subplot. This other dude that she was like, she seduced him and convinced him to go to the wall to try and assassinate Jon Snow and all this stuff. Like,
was he a Lannister?
Like, she was using her pussy as a weapon against everybody.
This brings me to Marilyn Monroe.
Uh-oh. This brings me to Dilapidated this week.
No, this is just something as a woman, I think about this a lot. Like, you know, girls are like, I love Marilyn Monroe. She is so great. Like, I love Marilyn Monroe. She's somebody that I've actually...
She was a fucking mess.
She was a hot mess. But there's like... That's someone I've actually studied a lot. I've studied a lot of her history and I'm really intrigued by her. But I think like because like we were talking about Cersei, like, you know, using her sexuality, that was her weapon. Like as a woman in that kind of a situation, it's the same thing. It's like fast forward to the fucking 1950s and 60s with like Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. Like her sexuality was her weapon. It was the one thing she could use in a world where she was controlled 24/7.
Yeah. And it's one thing when it's like you're doing this to gain some leverage in like a male-dominated society. Yes. It's kind of another when you're doing it to get your friends and family to murder people.
Well, exactly. You know? But I mean, like, that's anything. On. That's exploiting any form of power, though. That's whether or not you're using your pussy for that or you're using like anything else.
Although
like,
back in the Middle Ages, murder wasn't that big of a deal.
It was like not that
like
big of a deal.
People got over it pretty fucking fast. It was like, he killed a guy. All right, 2 years hard labor and let you off on good behavior.
That's something I'm actually, something I'm really intrigued about Marilyn Monroe, though. Like later on in her life before she ended up ODing. And I do think that, I think her ODing was genuinely more or less an accident. I don't think she really wanted to die. She was just really fucked up. She was massively depressed and she was balancing her fucking meds out way too much. Meds that were prescribed to her by the studios. I mean, this was shit that was supposed to help her. Like, you know, they gave her uppers and downers and she was supposed to balance the shit out all Wolf of Wall Street style.
If you're ever famous and working in Hollywood and your studio is giving you drugs, don't fucking take them.
Don't do it.
Is not looking out for your well-being.
But, you know, so later on in her life, she ended up there's a whole documentary. It may still be on Netflix, but there was a documentary about when she went out to New York. She was very serious about wanting to become a serious actress. She didn't just want to be the fucking blonde bombshell who was an idiot in all the movies. She wanted to actually get to be a serious actress, and she worked really hard at this. She went out to New York and kind of left fame behind for a little bit. And she was married to, I think she had to be married to Arthur Miller at the time, but she was living with that photographer. What the fuck is his name? He did some of her most incredible photos. He was married. I think he lived in upstate New York, Judd. But
she was married to Judd.
He had a wife and a couple of kids, and this was kind of like her family. She kept having miscarriages. It was another big thing that happened with her. She couldn't keep a kid. I also think she was like pounding drugs and alcohol at the time.
There might be a correlation.
Which they didn't so much understand. They're like, you should probably lay off the booze, but
kale, less less that was Cabernet.
Yeah, was it Milton Green? I think it was Milton Green. So she was kind of staying with them. This photographer and his wife and kids, and they like loved her, and she stayed with them and kind of had this family unit with them for a little bit. Then she'd go out to, she'd be in Manhattan and studying film school classes, like very, very famous film school classes that she would have never been able to get into had she not been, you know, Marilyn Monroe. This was
kind of like Jared Kushner.
Right? It was the name did a lot. The name did a lot for her, but she ended up, so she's studying at these classes, but one of my favorite stories is that she was out and about walking one night with her roommate, who's just this film student who had been there, and she became friends with her. And Marilyn Monroe did not have a lot of friends in this film school. They hated her for getting into this place, and she didn't work at it or anything. And she had this roommate that she was close friends with, and she was out and about walking with her one night, and she would hide herself to make sure that nobody realized that she was Marilyn Monroe. She'd wear a scarf over her head to cover her blonde hair. She wore giant sunglasses and stuff, and she'd always just make sure that nobody could recognize her. And everybody described her as being just a normal, down-to-earth person. Like, she wasn't that personality. It was something you could tell that she had created. She had just invented this personality because it was what worked for her. She knew that she could control things if she created this blonde bombshell personality. And she was walking with her, and she said, you know, do you want to see me be her? And she said, what are you talking about? And she said, do you want to see me be Marilyn Monroe? And she said, okay. And she took off the headscarf, removed the sunglasses. And she said she didn't even really do anything aside from that. And instantly people flocked to her. People lost their minds. They came running up screaming, and everything about her just changed. She was smiling and she was like, oh, thank you. Oh, it's so wonderful to see all of you beautiful people. And her friend's sitting there going, what the fuck? Like, 2 seconds ago, you're a normal ass person. Like, this is so weird. And that's so admirable to me. That's so interesting. It sucks that she had to create that. But it's so intriguing and so interesting to me that she looked at her situation and said, this is what I'm working with realistically. And instead of just rolling over, she decided she was going to control her situation. So she created this persona for herself, but she also never lost sight of the fact that it was bullshit. Like, she knew that that was a persona, and she could always, like, she was still herself. Granted, that fucking persona, like, everything about it consumed her.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, obviously it created problems, like the duality of living those two existences ultimately
Yeah, she's not a role model. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm saying it's a good idea.
It's not that. It's just I admire that she didn't have, like, this chick did not get a good roll of dice in life. Like, she didn't really have a lot to work with. She had been molested since she was very young. She had always been exploited since she was young. And she just took what she had to work with and she turned it into something. All I want to do is, like, hug Marilyn Monroe.
I know.
And just be like, I am so sorry.
Maybe she'd still be here if you just could have gotten in there and given her that hug.
I think that's kind of what the story of that follow-up week with Marilyn is about, with what's her face? Heath Ledger's?
Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams played her in that thing. But yeah, it was that story was about towards the end of her life when she ended up back in Hollywood right before she killed herself, or she died, she OD'd. That was the story of and it's a real story, but she met a journalist, just this like fucking kid, and she just made him hang out with her for like a week, and she kind of isolated everybody else, and she actually opened up to him. And so there's just like this random dude who has these insane stories about Marilyn Monroe that nobody knew about.
I just thought of another good essay that could have been written in high school.
What?
Kim Kardashian versus Marilyn Monroe for an essay.
Yeah, except for the fact that fucking Kim Kardashian has a goddamn pile of money that was just given to her from the day she was born. She didn't have to do shit.
You know, it's...
But you're right. You are absolutely right. There's definitely some
just for an
comparisons.
Essay wise.
Yeah, there's comparisons.
I just hope that both of their stories end the same way.
Oh, that was kind of dark.
Damn, just fame consumption. I will say...
I agree.
Something I still feel guilty about, like, especially as a woman, but I can't stop laughing about the fact that Kim Kardashian got fucking robbed and locked in a bathroom in France. Like, that's still funny to me, and I feel horrible that I feel that way. As a woman, I'm like, you're not supposed to feel that way. She's all Instagram posting, like, in fucking Paris. Like,
it's getting creepy with Kylie Jenner, because they're literally trying to make her look...
Like, I'm going to be honest. I know nothing about Kylie Jenner or the other one. I know that it's a thing. I own a makeup company, and she owns, well, let's just loosely say she owns a makeup company. She has her face on a makeup company.
She lends her visits.
Yeah,
to
that's
a...
like a direct competitor to my company, and I still don't really know shit about her.
Yeah,
I know she's everywhere, though.
With all the surgeries, she's looking more and more like Kim, and I was listening to something like they're kind of doing that on purpose, which is just bizarre.
Yeah. Well, Kim Kardashian's aging out. It's the way it is. I mean, that's what happens.
That's way too young for all that plastic surgery.
It can't happen fucking soon enough, too. I cannot wait for Kim Kardashian to be fucking
hideous.
Just for it to be over.
They're gonna age her out, but the problem is now, like Judd's saying, there's Kylie Jenner. It's a whole thing now. So it's just, there's going to be
we got a dynasty, and it's all bullshit. I want them gone. Give me my anarchist cookbook right now.
They're at Barnes & Noble.
She's way too young to be getting this kind of
plastic
surgery.
Her body hasn't even developed fully.
Well, it has now.
She didn't have any weird thing about her face or anything.
But she was just like unremarkable.
Yeah,
she was just like a normal little girl.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you're not a product.
Yeah,
we can market.
Exactly. She hadn't grown up yet.
Yeah. Normal's a capital crime in those families.
Yeah.
That's a tough situation to be in. It's really hard.
It's so hard to be a Kardashian.
It is. It's hard. It's hard when you're like, when you're exploited as a product, you know, it sucks. Like,
that's just got to be weird that they're trying to mold her to look like her sister.
Yeah.
Are
they sisters? What are they? They're sisters?
Yeah,
they're half
sisters.
I think...
I don't understand.
I think Bruce Jenner was involved in...
creating one of them?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's...
he was involved?
Yeah. In some way.
It's like a Build-A-Bear.
Yeah, I think... So, I think
was that Build-A-Bear that day.
I think the younger ones are Bruce Jenner's kids, and
the other ones are... Rob Kardashian. Rob, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the kid's name, right?
I don't know shit about the Kardashians.
I don't either. Like, every now and then, I caught my wife watching them a couple of times, and that's kind of the extent.
I love that you say you caught her.
And she changed the channel real quick.
No, I swear I was masturbating.
she's guiltless, but I'm like, you know this makes me love you less, right? Like, I'm this close to just walking away from this whole thing.
You watched the OJ documentary, right? The 7-hour thing?
I didn't... I watched the Ryan Murphy one, the American Story or whatever.
The FX.
The dramatization.
Not the fancy one.
Oscar-winning best.
Cuba. I still don't understand why we're casting Cuba as anything. I was just talking about this. Like, the man can't speak. He doesn't have a voice.
Yeah.
Like, he just has, like, chronic laryngitis
Cuba. Like, his fucking vocal cords are broke as fuck. Like, I don't understand why we're still using
Emily.
Him.
Emily. Fuck.
What? I like how seriously you take. I love.
Go easy on Cuba.
Yeah. Fuck Cuba. He seems like a great guy.
Are you gonna do a hashtag? I'm with Cuba. 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 Cuba.
I'm with both.
I'm with all of them.
So in this documentary, they have these like they cover part of it briefly, but they're talking about Kim Kardashian kind of starting her fame based on, you know, Robert Kardashian's like celebrity from the OJ trial.
Yeah.
And there's this part where OJ's seeing the shit she's doing, and he like looks over to his friend. He's like, this bitch is never gonna be fucking famous. This is utterly the worst thing I've ever seen. Oh. And I'm like, this is, I never would say this otherwise, but OJ, I wish you were right.
OJ, I'm with you.
I'm with OJ.
I'm with OJ on this one point. But,
oh my God. Yeah. I was in Maui when he's.
He's out now.
I was in Maui when his thing. What was
the
it?
Juice is loose.
Gotta
deal,
loose.
Gotta deal with the juice.
Oh my God.
It's so weird, right?
It was weird.
I thought, I'm like, that dude is dying in prison. And
I was watching a really great, like, some feedback from, it was like a thing that was just in Hawaii, like some locals talking about it. And there was this black dude that was just like as soon as OJ finished talking, it was OJ, and then oh my God, his lawyer, everyone, I was like, his lawyer was the shittiest lawyer I've ever seen. That guy ran his mouth, like, first OJ just ran his mouth forever, and I was like, oh my God, like, this guy, his lawyer wasn't like, yo, like, reel it back.
Say less, say less.
Like, he just went on. All he did was talk about everything wasn't his fault. At one point, I think he said, like, if it he said, like, if the security guard hadn't have been there, then he wouldn't have been in jail.
It's like, so if I hadn't got caught, that's exactly, there wouldn't be any problem.
It was very much like the Scooby-Doo. It was just like if it wasn't for that pesky security guard, would have never gotten caught. Like, that was it.
And I would have gotten away with it, too.
So he ended up, and then you see, and then his lawyer pops up, and that guy is just like, he's just running his mouth equally as much. And so they cut to, the, you know, the jury is deliberating, or the committee is deliberating about it, and they cut to this dude, this black dude, just talking about it, and he was like, that guy was garbage. Like, he was so mad, and he was like, there's no way OJ's going free. Like, everyone they chatted with, but this guy was mad about it. He was like, OJ's never going free. Everything he just said was, like, insane. Like, why did he say that? And then they cut back to the committee after they're done deliberating, and they let him off, and OJ was like, really?
He's all,
really?
Like, he's like, that joke, that worked?
Holy shit.
Wait, so when he made that rant, that was to the committee?
It was to the committee, and they were just
that
like,
that is fucking insane. Like, God, I gotta be honest with you. If I'd been a slightly better criminal, I wouldn't be in jail right now. Like, yeah, we agree. Let's give you a second.
He's right.
Yeah, plan your shit out better next time.
The thing that's weird being an adult now, because I remember the OJ shit from back in the day, but like being an adult and watching this now and being very familiar with like more personality traits and how people work, OJ is a classic sociopath. He gets coached on the correct things to say. He knows that he's supposed to say that he's sorry for these things, but he does not possess the ability to tap into this actual, this empathy, this sympathy for what he, or this,
I think he's like a total narcissist.
Oh, he's a narcissist. He's 100. He's a textbook narcissist.
I think he does feel guilty because some of the, well, you got to see the documentary, like some of the conversations he's had, like he has this clear impulse to like want to connect with people about what he did, but he knows he can't actually admit that he did it. And like, they're
except when he writes a book talking about exactly that.
I didn't do it, but if I did,
yeah.
I think even that, I don't think that was him. Like a sociopath, say he was a sociopath and writes that book, that would be him bragging about what he was doing and like, hey, look how I got away with it. I think what he was really doing was trying to have some kind of confession without like having to deal with the real blowback of it. And then people were like, no. That's
but what blowback?
Crazy.
Like, I mean, he's already been found innocent. He can't be prosecuted. He could literally just come up and be like, yeah, I killed that bitch. Like, and it doesn't matter now.
Yeah, double jeopardy. Yeah.
But it's
good rule.
In his mind, he's trying to, like, maintain this persona.
He is. He's trying to maintain the persona.
He wants to be the
juice
again.
He's, I think.
Dude, do you remember, like, I think it was a little ways after the trial, before he actually went to jail, where he, like, made some, like, prank video where he was like trying to start up.
You mean before he went to jail for the Vegas stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. He was making some weird ass videos.
Yeah, he tried to make some shit, like he wanted to make like the new Punked, where it was like juiced or something.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Where he was like,
you've been juiced.
Yeah, he's like, you got juiced. He was like trying to sell the Bronco or
something. Oh, in 2017, that would absolutely catch on. That was wrong market.
Hold on. Yeah. Let me see if I can pull anything about that up.
One of the things I loved in that documentary, too, one of the jurors, because like this just so quickly became about indicting the city of LA for being a bunch of racist motherfuckers and like not at all about did OJ do it.
Yeah.
And so one of the jurors was like, she's this old black woman, racist as fuck. You know, like, just all the shit she's saying, you're like, I can't believe she made it onto the jury.
Yeah.
And like everything she had to say, you were like, woman, like you're the problem with the justice system right here. You're why the trial went the way it did. But, you know, like I also see your like where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Then like they interview her again, this juror from the original trial, after he gets caught again. She's like, look, man, I helped you out one time. You fucked up again. It's your dumbass's fault. You deserve to be in fucking prison.
She's all, you're out.
I laugh so hard. I'm like, oh my God, that's cynical, bitch. I love it.
It's just, it's insane. It's insane that he did what he did. That's why I see it being, he's definitely a textbook narcissist, but like,
yeah, full blown. Because at the core of everything he was doing, he needed to be adored by everyone.
Well, it was the idea where he would say, like, I'm not white, I'm not black, like, I'm OJ. Like, I'm above all of this.
He's
like, I am OJ. It, what? Yeah, it was bizarre.
He wishes.
Like, he lives in his own world. But the reason I think he's a sociopath is because I think it just, I don't think he's able to connect those emotions. I don't think that there's a genuine desire to want to produce those emotions, that to connect with people. I think he knows he needs to save himself. He needs to. He's
right,
supposed
but
to say
I don't
say
think a
X,
sociopath
y,
has that like awareness. You know, like I think.
Oh, they definitely do.
Yeah, they know that they are supposed to say that, but they don't. They don't have the ability to make that connection.
They don't necessarily want to. They just know that order for the mask to keep working,
they have to do
that.
X, Y, and Z.
Shit, I think I'm a sociopath.
Like, oh fuck!
Yeah. I gotta go.
I gotta return some videotapes.
And then the difference between a sociopath and a psychopath is just like you just kill people, right?
No, not necessarily. I think there was a psychopath who did an AMA on Reddit, and people were like, what's the deal? Do you want to kill people? It was like, no, not really. Like, I really don't have any desire to kill people. Like, that said, like, if somebody was, like, creating problems for me, it wouldn't be, like, I wouldn't be opposed to the idea. It wouldn't bother me to kill this guy if it made my life better.
I think being a sociopath, like, sociopath and psychopath are the same thing. It's just that you have a block of the population that is sociopathic. That's how their brain works. But then, like, only a smaller subset of them are actually, like, also violent.
Oh, that's right. Correlation. Violent tendencies are what's attached to psychopaths.
And it's like, you can be violent and not be a sociopath. It's just losing your temper. But then if you're, like, a sociopath and you're also like, I really want to just cut
things. It's like you like this, psychopaths. That's exactly it. They have like violent tendencies, like are just kind of instilled in them, kind of like on a frequent basis. Like there's a monster that has to be. It's Dexter. Like you have to. It's what's his dark passenger. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's like there's always like these violent fucking tendencies that kind of lie dormant. They're always there. They're a part of you. But with sociopaths, that's not necessarily. It's just like narcissism.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess if you say psychopath, if you're implying, because I think some people do just say psychopath, but they mean sociopath
exactly.
Because there's plenty of like CEOs and hedge fund managers that are like all total sociopaths and or like doctors even. Doctors and lawyers, like it attracts them.
I got an article pulled up from that kind of discusses the differences between the two. Mm-hmm. It says the psychopath is callous yet charming. He or she will con and manipulate others with charisma and intimidation and can effectively mimic feelings to present as normal to society. The psychopath is organized in their criminal thinking and behavior and can maintain good emotional and physical control, displaying little to no emotional or automatic arousal, even under situations that most would find threatening or horrifying. The psychopath is keenly aware what he or she is doing is wrong, but does not care. Conversely, the sociopath is less organized in his or her demeanor. He or she might be nervous, easily agitated, and quick to display anger. A sociopath is more likely to spontaneously act out in inappropriate ways without thinking through the consequences. Compared to the psychopath, the sociopath will not be able to move through society committing callous crimes as easily, as they can form attachments and often have normal temperaments.
So the psychopath is better.
They're more efficient.
They're better and more efficient because they're more detached. They have even more control over what they're doing.
They can just like...
Yeah, by that description, it would be fair to say that OJ was a sociopath because
he did a dumb thing. Exactly.
In this documentary, they've got like recorded phone calls that he had with Nicole where he's like screaming at her about, you know.
Exactly.
Like,
he would have never. A psychopath would have never been caught doing that.
You're out sucking everyone's dicks. That's fine. I'll see you at 9.
A psychopath would have never
been establishing alibis on the fucking like on the phone.
He would not have had a documentary made.
He wouldn't have done that in the first place. Yeah. He would have made sure
that
there
security
was
guard
never...
wouldn't have been there.
Yeah. He would have said me shit about a security.
He would have made sure that there was no phone phone call in the first place. Like, it would have been something that they're very calculated. Everything that they think about is for self-preservation, and it's all morality is removed, which is weird that, like, morality can be, like, you think that it's just, like, this concept, but it has to be something in the brain that exists, like, some form of where morality is stored. It's kind of interesting.
They deleted that folder.
They deleted it, or it's just, like, they cut that connection. Yeah. It's just, like, does not like compute. Like,
no access to folders.
Just didn't quite connect.
It's just a 404 error all day. Like,
I was trying to look up this movie. I couldn't find it, and I can't remember the name of the title. The name of the fucking movie. But it was about this kid that I think was a psychopath or something, and he was very in control, and like he had little things to make sure that he didn't act out on these urges that he had to like kill things.
And
like,
it wasn't Dexter.
No, his mom, I think, in the movie worked at a morgue, so he got to see dead bodies.
Oh, what is this? I totally know what this is. Keep talking.
And actually, Doc from Back to the Future was also in it.
Christopher Lloyd?
Doc?
Yeah. Wait, I think, yeah, it was him. And so he actually, the kid actually sees him.
Sorry, a.k.a. Fester from Adam's Family, a.k.a. the bad guy from Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
So the kid sees...
I actually like this movie as a reboot of Back to the Future where Marty is this kid.
Yeah, so the kid sees Christopher Lloyd kill some other man, and then like he kind of goes into this like detective thing, and I can't remember if he was going to try to kill the old man or something, but it was...
You're sure it was Christopher Lloyd?
I could be wrong. It looks... someone that looked
Christopher
like him.
Plummer?
No.
Christopher Plummer.
But anyway, so this kid, his mom worked at a morgue.
I totally remember this. I remember there being a kid who is... I remember his mom working at the morgue. What the fuck? What is this movie?
And I was trying to look up psychopath kid movies or whatever.
Psychopath kid movies. Yeah.
But there were so many.
There actually
is a lot. But it was just interesting because he used seeing these dead bodies at the morgue to kind of keep himself controlled. And I think it was like some Sundance film.
Yeah,
or
and
some
he was
shit.
Supposed to be...
Is it the morgue?
No.
No.
Yeah, it was from like last year. But you're right. It was, I remember it debuted at like Sundance and it was, I don't think it was good. Like, we would have heard more about it.
I remember it not being too bad.
Most of the shit that comes out of Sundance is overrated.
Yeah, that is true. Fuck it. Don't watch the movie.
Don't do it. If you ever figure out what it is,
if they
don't
do,
watch
they'll
it.
Do it by accident because we didn't tell them what the fuck I was true. Called. So
actually, if you know what I'm talking about, write in and tell me, and I'll tell you if you're correct in the
and
next
he'll
episode.
Tell you not to watch it. Yeah. Want to do emails?
Do we want to take a break?
Let's take a break
and then do and emails.
Then,
smoke break and then emails.
Yeah, I'm gonna rub one out and we'll get those emails going.
All right, we'll I'll take help. A little I'll break help. And then we'll come back and
I'll work the balls.
Dive into the mailbag.
All right, let's dive into the email, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, so Teddy writes in, subject line is also, which is a weird way to also open up a conversation. Teddy says, no one cares to hear about people writing in. the irony of this email.
I just spit on my mic.
Good no opener one, for the mailbag.
No one cares to hear about people writing in. We just want that juicy content. All right. So I think he started another thread. It got moved up a little higher in the thread because we had it back and forth. So I read these out of order. Mm. So Teddy's first email was, subject line was, no more. Teddy says, no more mail time. It's boring. Everything else is great. And then, obviously, he followed up with that other bit, which was essentially just saying the same
How
thing.
How would we have ever had Karen if it wasn't for this? Like,
yeah, Karen or old Pepperoni Pete.
Pepperoni Pete. I love mailbag.
So, yeah, no, we're going to keep reading emails. We like reading the emails. And,
no,
Teddy. Yeah, sorry.
Thanks for listening, but no.
Sorry, bud. But then,
fuck you, Teddy. Write us again. We'll read that one, too.
But then the plot thickens.
Also.
Yeah. Sammy does Denver.
I love that name. That's
the subject line is a friend of Teddy. He writes in, my friend Teddy wanted me to email you guys. He got me listening to the podcast. He hates the mail time. I guess he wrote in about it just now and asked me to as well. Personally, I feel like mail time is good when there are funny emails like the cereal guy.
Are we ratting her out right now? I actually feel kind of bad about that.
No, I told him. I already ratted him out earlier in the week. I was like, dude, your friend threw you under the bus in a big bad way. That shit backfired so bad
for
you.
That's actually amazing, though, that she wrote in or he wrote in. With... That's really sweet. I love that. Thanks for your honest feedback, people.
Yeah, and keep doing Denver.
Yeah, so... We got one against the emails and one for, so still in a dead heat.
We just evened out this week. Yeah, really.
And honestly, I don't care either way. I'm gonna keep doing it. This one is kind of this is a Judd centric email. Inez writes in, Judd is my spirit animal. This gets kind of erotic.
I remember this one.
Yeah. Inez writes in, I think he may be my favorite for multiple reasons. He's hilarious when he gets angry. Could not agree more.
Yep.
UNFF. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, like unf.
Kind of unf.
Oh, you got that unf.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, okay. Hang on. In parentheses, it says that was a sexy noise.
Oh,
so kind of voice.
Yeah. I feel like Beats delivered that correctly.
Yeah. Okay. Andy looks pretty cute based on his picture on that website. I'm pretty sure I put the worst possible picture of
you
on the website.
He does look better than whatever
we put
up
picture
there.
On there.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the one I put up on Facebook of you rocking your bird riding a surfboard shirt or whatever the fuck that was.
That was a bad photo.
Yeah, that was a bad
photo.
Yeah,
it's not the best. I don't know what that is.
Anyway, if he wasn't going to be a baby daddy, I would ask for his number. I would ride his beard into the sunset. Yes, naked, of course. So I don't.
You said that got a little erotic. It got pretty fucking.
And I read it and I felt like I just didn't want to reply, so I left it up to Beast.
So I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole of the last conversation, but there's a T-shirt idea that kind of comes up later in here. So I have to go a little bit into the back and forth here. So I wrote Inez back. I said, Beats here. I know I'm not who you were hoping to hear from. Sorry. But for the most part, I handle the emails. So, Judd, huh? I'll agree that it is pretty hilarious to piss him off. That shit never gets old. But as for some of your other opinions, I don't know, man. You got some interesting taste. To each their own, I suppose. Then again...
So what you're saying is you don't want to fuck Beats. Or you don't want to fuck Judd.
Not really.
All right. So
Lady good. Judd... That's
Lady
a different
Judd,
story.
Different story. Yeah,
Lady Judd. We gotta get that photo up on the...
Yeah.
The
then again, thing. Maybe I'm just being jealous that this email wasn't directed to me. Cry baby face. Anyway, thank you for listening and taking the time to write in with this fascinating and disturbingly erotic email. So Inez writes back, obviously... Oh, no. Hang on. I'm jumping to my shit. Okay, hang on. Inez writes back, I'm a woman. God.
What? Wait, did we debate that?
I think at one point I said, I don't know, man. So she took that as like, oh, she thinks I'm a dude.
She was like, excuse me.
Yeah. So she's like, I'm a woman. God, LOL, just tell Juddy Poo that there's a moist listener out there waiting for him. Ha ha.
Jesus.
So I said, love Inez so much.
So I said, obviously you're a woman. Not a lot of male Inezes running around. When I say, I don't know, man, it's purely a figure of speech. Though the image of a grown man riding Judd's beard into the sunset is pretty spectacular.
Oh, okay.
I think I got a new t-shirt idea.
This is a fantastic t-shirt.
She says, I want that shirt.
Yeah.
Well, Inez, the beard is growing. It's growing even more.
The beard is pretty epic right now. It's kind of...
It's kind of getting crazy.
Yeah,
right now.
It's a little unkempt. I want to dial it in a little bit.
It's beginning to think for itself.
It's becoming self-aware.
I'm running an AI in my beard. It's BeardJS.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And it is recording your conversations.
It is recording all my conversations.
As usual, I have the least beard in this whole situation.
Yeah, grow a beard already.
You guys all have far more beards than I do.
Dennis writes in... Absolutely nothing.
Oh.
Dennis sent an email with his name on it, and that's it.
That's sweet. God, poor Dennis. What happened to him?
I don't know.
Halfway through.
I don't know. I sent him back an email just being like, hey there, Dennis. Care to elaborate? And that was sort of the end of our dialogue. Yeah, I'd like to see where that was going. We got an email back from old Evan. I guess you guys shared a...
He did, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys shared a little story, and he wanted to give his two cents.
Oh, did we?
Oh, what was that? You guys were chatting
the subject
about...
The subject line is, you assholes definitely drew on my face.
I was right. Thank you, Devin.
Yeah, that's right. I did, because I listened back from when I was in Hawaii, and I missed out on that. And Evan and I were kind of reflecting back on that story. The Brittany handcuff episode.
Yeah.
And, by the way, and, I don't think I've put this out there on the podcast yet, but I am brokenhearted that I wasn't here for the Brittany episode, because Brittany and I share some pretty fucking sweet stories between the two of us, and we could have definitely pulled out some more gems.
She wants to be back on.
We can drag her back.
But I heard a rumor that Brittany is actually, she's going to be leaving the area, like, this week.
Well, she has to go back for things, and then she wants to come back.
Yeah, she should be back eventually, but the point
is... She got 27 more states to hit in the next three weeks, does. So...
So what did Evan, add to that? Was that it?
Well, but what the story came down to, Evan told Brittany, like, he got up and he went out and talked to Brittany and these dicks all over him, but not his face. And he was like, hey, at least you guys didn't draw on my face. And I was like, that's not true. Like, we put elaborate, like, there were pubes on our sketches. Like, it was, and then permanent marker, that's not easy. You have to be very gentle.
For those of our listeners who remember when Evan guested on the podcast, we did discuss Bernard. Bernard's my favorite. He's my favorite slash the worst dude I've ever met in my life.
The episode was called Bernard Lives.
Right. So Bernard is a fucking train wreck. But Evan was full Bernard mode that night.
Yeah.
I was not there, but I remember this because this was actually one of the times when Evan and I had had a big falling out. I had kind of like, I exiled him from my life for a little bit. And I still vaguely remember that after he had like walked away from Britney's the next day, like I think he dealt with the dicks the best way he could have.
Yeah. But what he did, he went into the bathroom and he washed the dicks off his face. Cause like he could mitigate a certain level of shame. And
the dicks on his face,
he was like, I can't make other people think this actually happened. Like I have to erase this. So like, he scrubs them off, then he goes out to Brittany and he's like, oh, I think they at least left my face alone. It's cool. I called bullshit. I said, no, like he went to the bathroom and he took that. Evan confirms it.
Wow. That's amazing.
Shame, Evan. Shame.
I think it was Judd and I. It was like me, Judd, and Brittany or someone. Like there was a party at my house at my old apartment.
I did the jelly beans.
Was it jelly beans or was it candy corn?
It was candy corn. Yeah,
dude.
Candy corn.
Yeah, but I remember like
I
Evan
was placing them.
Yeah, Evan passed the fuck out at this party in my house, and Judd was just lining up candy corn on him just forever. Like there were so many.
Just glued him to his face like Pinhead or some shit.
Glued him to his eyebrows.
It was kind of just funny that I got so many on
you
his face.
You did. He got so many candy corn. There was like a whole thread going around for a while of dudes just like stacking shit on their babies, and that was like, and it was like how.
So Evan's our baby.
Yeah, I was basically like, how many they have videos of guys like how many candy corn you could stack on your sleeping baby?
Well, like so, did you?
Oh my god, I'm totally. Doing
I know.
That.
Beats both
these
of
were stacked
you.
On his face, like where his eye sockets just filled with candy corn.
No, it was like along the side of him, down his arm or something. I just remember there was a lot of candy corn. I was very impressed with Judd that night.
Yeah.
Okay, so
sorry about the dicks, Evan. It won't happen again.
It might happen again.
Yeah.
So Evan writes, "You drew all over my face that night I passed out, but I was definitely awake for the handcuffing and subsequent mission of trying to get Alan and Darren separated. Yeah. I think Alex and I were in the dorm getting drunk and smoking weed and all types of ill shit, Karen."
Karen.
They definitely were.
"All I remember is leaving post-it notes of Pantera lyrics around Britney's dorm. And waking up the next morning with dick drawings all over my arms, and I think, like, one dick drawing on my face. I think we stayed up all night, and then Brittany had to take someone else to the airport, so I was stuck in her dorm all day, hungover and miserable. The jelly beans were at Emily's old apartment, and I have no idea why Judd did that, but fuck you, Judd."
At least it wasn't permanent. You know?
That's true.
Yeah, you could just shake those off really easy.
Yeah, you just woke up covered in candy.
Good times, burn in hell, all of you. And I have tons more promiscuous, dilapidated, and morality depraved stories of drug use, drinking, and satanic heavy metal for Karen and her shitty kids. I'm coming for you, girl.
That's my favorite story. That's great.
Dash, the drunk mess, always and forever known as Evan. P.S. I'm going to kick your ass too, Tanner. You're not safe, Tanner.
Oh,
you're not
Tanner.
Off the hook yet. Okay, and this one I haven't even seen yet. This one just came. I just noticed this morning. Xavier writes in, "Funny shit. Podcast is hilarious. Keep it up. The most recent title was a little odd.
What was our most recent title?
Rise of the Dick Shark.
Oh, well, did we correct that? Funny?
We patched it.
Changed it.
He said the recent title was a little odd until I listened to the episode. What happened to it being called Rise of the Dick Shark? That was too good. So, yeah, we ran into some issues with...
Apple being a fucking cunt.
Wait, we did correct it to Dick Shark, right?
Yeah. Kind of. Oh. We're going to see if it plays, but...
It should be fine. They don't give a shit what
apparently they give a shit.
No. The only thing they cared about was we had an issue with the podcast being removed, but that was because we had fully spelled out profanity in our tags.
Yeah.
As long as we've got asterisks or whatever the fuck we're using.
We're hoping that gets us off the hook.
Yeah, it should be okay.
So Judd, in order to keep our podcast from being banned from iTunes, he changed the title to Rise of the Veiny Shark,
which was just not...
It just doesn't have the magic of the dick shark.
We don't need veins. We need a full cock.
But I think we patched the episode.
Yeah, Darren did a quick edit of the episode, and we reposted it with the original title, and we tried to see if we can sneak by the iTunes censors by just dropping an asterisk in place of the I in dick.
Yeah, that should be okay.
We'll beat Apple.
Hopefully everything goes well and it stays up. It should be Rise of the Dick Shark again as originally intended. On that note, I started researching iTunes censorship.
Oh my god!
I'm sorry, it was too good for me. I started researching iTunes censorship, trying to find a way to get around this whole.
I remember this too. Did I tell you that I remember this case? I remember this being.
I don't remember you remembering it.
Yeah, I don't think I even mentioned. I think I talked to Darren about this.
And so in my Googling, I stumbled across like a wiki page that was just talking about various things that have kind of been banned from iTunes for different reasons. And I think this
was the big one that made them go like, we've got to actually start.
Yeah, I had never heard about it, but like apparently at one point there was an app called Baby Shaker, and the whole idea of the app was like there was a cartoon baby on the screen that would cry, and the only way to get it to stop crying was to shake the phone until two little X's appeared over the baby's eyes. And it died. Jesus. So I fell down the rabbit hole of that. I was like, I have to know more about the baby. Like, somebody went to college, probably got a degree, learned how to program. And this was the culmination of their skills and effort. Oh, like, it all built up to this baby shaker app.
They probably tried something else first, and then when that failed, they went, well, I got the baby shaker.
But it was really disappointing. Like, I found a gameplay video, and it was literally just like a black and white sketch of a baby, like from a book or something like that. And, like, you would hear, like, a crying noise, and then you shake the phone, and then two little red X's show up over the eyes.
This is so concerning, like, since you're having a baby soon. Like, this freaks me out so much more.
It's important to me that my fucked up sense of humor not be affected by this whole having kids thing. Like,
That's true.
Know so many people who are like, they just don't laugh at anything, like, baby-related anymore. And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. This shit has to be funny to me.
Yeah.
Your kid's definitely going to have a fucked up sense of humor.
Oh, he's going to be dark. He's going to be dark. Either way. But, after, like, looking to the thing...
Wait, we haven't figured out gender yet.
No, we don't know yet.
Oh, you didn't get the test today?
They're not doing that.
No, we haven't done it yet. We might.
You're waiting for the day of, or the night of?
No, they're doing...
No, hell no.
No, they're doing the traditional... with the doctor guy.
But the idea was so good and the execution was so sloppy. I was like, we need to revisit this.
That is a bummer. That's a bummer. That's like Human Centipede.
Kind of.
Yeah, like when that came out, everyone was like, this is the most fucked up idea. But then you watch it, you're like, it's also just a really poorly made film.
But it's also, this was like in 2006 or something like this. This was a while back. So I'm like, let's take advantage of emerging
shaker.
Technologies. Like,
Baby Shaker.
Baby Shaker.
I was like, I have the future... is Baby Shaker VR. Like, you have to, like, stumble, like, into a baby's room, and there's all kinds of little binkies and...
Oh, my God!
And mobiles and knickknacks and stuff to, like...
Oh,
and you give it
God.
To them, but the cries just get longer and louder until you only have one recourse.
Well,
I'm going to put it out there. I'm 110% against Baby Shaker VR.
I make games, so we'll talk after. Maybe we can do like a Baby Shaker Deluxe.
Well, and then I figured, like, you know, after a couple of months, once enthusiasm starts to die down, we can release an expansion pack called like Baby Bath Time or something like that.
You motherfucker! Oh my god!
Where you just like you can give him little rubber duckies and things, but he won't stop freaking out, and the only way to get him to just quiet down for a second. Just hold them under.
Our kids are not hanging out.
They're not hanging out with Uncle Beats. Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah. We're not going to make that.
I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good idea.
I think it's funny that you're saying it.
I think it's funny you're saying it, too.
So Baby Shaker, that kicked off the... Baby Shaper is why we can't say dick.
Baby Shaper.
Baby Shaper. That's arguably weirder.
Another expansion pack.
I just Spanks for babies.
Baby Spanker.
Skinny baby.
I want a skinny baby.
You remember the original iPhone apps when the iPhone first came out? You remember I Am Rich?
The diamond wallpaper that's like 10 grand or something?
It was a red diamond, and because the max price you could charge was $10,000 or $9,999, that's what they charged, and people bought it.
They bought it.
Doesn't do anything, and it sits there. They just bought it to show that they are rich.
Like, I have 10 grand to blow on a fucking wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Apple bans it. Because they're like, well,
why ban it?
Why ban it?
What is the problem with that? It's insanely stupid, but you should be able to buy
that. That right there, hands down, is the most un-American thing ever, is banning the $10,000 shitty, stupid wallpaper app.
Apple, you're a bunch of fucking commies.
Yeah.
And it existing is the most American thing.
It is. Yeah. Hand in hand, that was the most commie fucking reaction.
It might not be banned in Dubai. I think they still have
because they still believe in freedom.
They still believe in capitalism.
Why shouldn't I have a tennis court on top of my skyscraper? Fuck you.
You've earned it.
Yeah. So that was the end of that email, right?
Yeah. No, I think that's it. I think that's all the emails this week.
That's it.
Yeah, we're all good.
Don't shake babies, please.
Don't shake babies. Well, try not to shake babies if you can. Don't really do it. That's why I felt like VR was the move. Maybe we can save a few babies from actually getting shook.
Maybe you should deal with your internal desires to shake babies.
I don't have a desire to shake babies. I just think it's fucked up.
There was a really controversial indie game that came out. You've probably heard of it, Judd. Maybe 7 years ago. And it was basically a simulator of being the shooter at Columbine.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And you hear about it and you're like, this is the most fucked up thing. Why would you make this? And then
your second thought is, where do I download it?
Well, we'll talk about that later. But so the developer defends the game, and he's saying, no, I made this so that people going through what these kids were going through could maybe just work their shit out in a game and not have to go out and actually kill a bunch of other kids.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like...
No, I think that so there's...
Haven't we already proven against that with GTA? That didn't work?
GTA totally works. I have not jacked any cars since Grand
Theft Auto. No, but I'm saying, like, GTA is an awesome game. Like, does it lead to violence? I don't believe so. But was it a suitable outlet for people who have issues like that? I don't
really
know that they...
It really doesn't. There were two kids that I think shot someone and then in court tried to blame it on GTA.
Yeah.
They were we just wanted to do it like we did
in
the video game.
Well, Columbine, I mean,
the judge threw it out. He was like, no, you didn't, you fucking liars.
Yeah,
like,
that's such a lawyery fucking defense.
That's what I mean.
I was so
proud
of that.
That's
judge
what I mean. That's why
bullshit.
I think that the existence of this fucking game is total bullshit. That's not the point. The point is, if you have these underlying desires, you need to address those. A game is not going to help you fucking address them.
Yeah, maybe
it's
get
imminent.
Like a therapist.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if that was the intent of the game designer, like...
he's an idiot. He needs to be educated.
Maybe,
but
if that was actually his intent, then it's like, that's a world of difference from a guy going like, hey, wouldn't it be dope to do Columbine? You know, like...
Yeah, no, that's
different,
true.
Different intent there.
It's just ignorance compared to fucking, like, assholishness. Like.
And thanks to Roller Coaster Tycoon, I've been wanting to make a park where people just go into the water from the roller coaster and die.
That is true. That was my only
like
goal.
That's literally all I would do. I would pick guests up and just drop them in a pit.
Yep.
Or just drop them in a lake. Or I would crank up the speed on a roller coaster way too fast and fire them out into the sea. Just like I never did anything like, let's try to make the most successful ride. Like, I didn't give a shit about that.
I did that.
A big old hole and drop a dude in and be like, guest 473 is hungry. I'm like, I bet he is. He's been in that pit a long time.
Oh my god. Did any of you ever play the game Black and White?
Yes, where you got to like make your you'd like have a like a little avatar, like you were a god.
Yeah, so you're a god and like you have an island kind of world. There's a bunch of different levels you go through, and there's these little people that build villages and they pray to you and shit.
Oh yes.
Yeah, and then you get to have an avatar that you raise and you can stroke it and reward it, or you can beat the shit out of it.
Yeah, you just be an asshole.
Which I would just do endlessly. that's the game where you beat your cow, right? Yes. but it was amazing how the AI in that game works too. You could train your cow to like take a shit on the kid's nursery, or like to catch fireballs out of midair and eat them, you know, like just wacky shit. But the main thing was beating your creature.
That's really the point of the game.
And then just torturing all these like innocent little people, you know.
Okay.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I have such a hard time like playing games properly if they give you the option to do fucked up shit. Like, yeah. did you play The Sims at all?
Oh yeah, dude. Love like, don't Sims. Give me that window.
don't give me that.
I had this family. Like, I had the dad was just like this albino dude with an afro, and he just walked around in like a G-string and shit, like jumping out of bushes and scaring the neighbor children and like and tickling people and beating the shit out of his wife.
It was the show Shameless, but
yes. Yeah, he was the proto Frank.
God damn.
I would literally like, and I never put him to sleep. I never sent him to the bathroom, so he'd just like piss himself and pass out in the yard.
I do remember doing shit like this in this, like most of The Sims I think I played like straight edge, you know. I did it for a couple hours.
I'm like, this is boring, I'm just gonna start hitting people.
I want my kid to play violin. I want to successful social life, you know? Then you're like, what if I build walls around this person and just trap them in this fucking room and watch them die?
Yeah,
and it does happen. Yeah, and you're like,
the oven right next to the wicker hamper and shit, and see what happens.
Oh god, I love The Sims.
So, like,
oh my god.
So yeah. You've never finished a game of Grand Theft Auto? Then there's no.
Actually, GTA 5 was the first one where the missions were so much fun that I actually like. I could distract myself from fucking off for a little bit and actually do the game.
Yeah.
That's where
I did finish that game.
I had the opposite. Like, I didn't even get that far in that game, but every other GTA I beat, like, to the end.
Yeah.
But, like,
I had the exact opposite experience. Wow. The missions were so well crafted. I'm like, that was awesome. I want to do that over and over again.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's right. I remember playing GTA with you when we were kids, and I was like, we're just doing the mission again. Like, okay.
This reminds me. There's a... With GTA 5 is the most recent one, right?
Yeah.
It's very heat.
And Trevor is the greatest video game character of all time. I'm going to say that right
Which
now.
Which one's Trevor? Is that the main...
No, he's the fucking meth head lunatic guy. Where like, you can do anything with that character, and it makes sense. Like, you're never stepping out of the realms of what he would probably do.
So, I haven't watched this yet, but apparently there's this guy on Twitch that is doing this whole thing where he's playing as a cop in GTA, and like... just role-playing the entire thing. Like, he follows the rules when he's, like, driving and everything. He tries to pull people over.
Cops don't do that.
Well, it's become,
my
like...
My biggest gripe about cops is they don't follow the rules when they're driving. It makes me so mad.
Again, I haven't watched it, but apparently, like, people are tuning in, like,
because
you're watching...
that's my biggest gripe about cops. Not them killing innocent people, just that they don't use their blinkers. Sorry, go ahead.
Apparently, like, people have been tuning in, like, they're watching episodes of, like, Cops, but with this one cop that's just role-playing doing this shit.
That's the most boring thing.
It is. Like, he's just rolling up on hookers and just chatting with him like, yeah, I have to arrest you.
I think most GTAs, like, you start playing it and then you're following the rules at first because you're kind of like, yeah, I'm not too far into the criminal life yet. You know, just, now
I'm figuring out the mechanics of the game.
Get my first gun. But, you know, you're still following the rules. Like, 10 missions later, you don't give a fuck about the rules. You're, like, crashing 1,000 cars on the way to a job.
You're like, I want to see how many stars I can get and then get away with it.
Because my biggest goal is how many stars can I get?
Yeah.
That was another challenge too, like just having the military after you. How long can you survive?
My perfect real life situation with that like compares to that for me is when you put those fucking speedometers out there that are electronic that like tell you how fast you're going.
Yeah.
Because they're like, speed limit's 45. You're currently doing 53, and I'm like, fuck you. I'm gonna do 78. Like,
you bet I am.
You shouldn't have shown me that. Now I'm just gonna fuck with this.
But yeah, so that's the early part of GTA. Like that's, and you know you're gonna be doing this crazy shit later. But then. This guy actually just does this, and people tune in to watch it. They tune in for, like, the worst part of the game.
Yeah. I haven't watched it, but I know a lot of people, like, it's growing as a thing, because apparently this guy is really funny with his persona that he's doing for the cop.
Yeah.
And, like, other player, like, because he's doing multiplayer, and I guess so many people will flock to where he's playing, and they'll actually start partaking in the whole role-play thing.
Yeah, just like, let's all obey the speed limit and just be, like, good pedestrians.
Well, no, they won't do that. But, like, it's kind of weird, though, how just by him doing his own character, not trying to get other people involved,
spawned this culture of, like, responsible GTA players.
Well, no, like, people...
That is fucking hilarious.
Apparently people are, like, trying to do role-playing thing where, like, they'll act out like a scene of cops where, like, some random person will come in and, like...
Some shirtless redneck, like, hiding under a fucking kiddie pool.
Yeah. Again, I haven't watched it, but apparently it's been...
There's something to that, because there was... I was playing in front of a friend of a friend's kid. He was sitting there watching us play GTA, and we were just, you know, doing what you do, just running around like stabbing people in the face for no good reason and shit like that. And he kept getting mad at us. He's like, no, play normal. He like, he just wanted us to like walk down the street and like go to the store and like just be a normal dude. Like, don't do anything interesting. He's like, just be a guy.
Just be a dude.
Yeah, like, look, in real life, it takes more than me pressing triangle to pull someone out of their car.
Yeah, it's a lot harder than
yeah
than triangle. It's a little more nuance to it. What are you doing over there, Chet?
I was just looking up like the name of this guy.
The cop guy?
He's got a name.
Sheriff Eli.
Oh, okay.
Sheriff Eli. Yeah, like...
Oh, wait, Sheriff Eli, wasn't that Nucky's brother from Boardwalk Empire?
Wait, Nucky?
Nucky Thompson! Boardwalk
Empire,
you
know the
man.
Main character of that show?
Yeah, Steve Buscemi.
Oh, I didn't know his name was Nucky. I saw season one, like, when it came out.
Stop with this right now.
Fuck you.
Holy shit, this guy's raised over, like, 10K from doing this episode.
10K for following the goddamn rules?
That's bullshit. Fuck everyone who did... No.
No, just no.
It's absurd.
That's like a weird sociological experiment to see that that's actually... Everyone's like, I'm so sick of all this chaos.
Oh,
I just
get
want
this.
Some order.
This is even better. He actually is a former cop.
Oh, God.
Oh, the plot thickens.
He's a former cop that's streaming GTA as a cop.
He's a former cop reenacting episodes of Cops as a cop.
Now, if only he could get real cops to do the same thing.
Oh, my gosh. Or real criminals to play GTA with him.
Wow, that's so meta.
It's probably a weird irony there. I bet cops that play GTA tend to be the most violent-ass people. And
they're probably using hacks and shit. They're like, fuck everyone.
Just like every repressed moment of like, I wanted to beat the shit out of that guy and just tase him and just shoot it. Like, just double tap him right in the field. Like, they just live out those fantasies via GTA.
Like, how many people you think just got out of prison, they're staying at some place, someone's like, hey, you want to play some GTA? They're like, yeah, well, can I just walk to the convenience store without killing anyone? Is that a okay option? Like, that's all I really want to do now, man.
So, FYI, we don't need to keep this in the podcast, but Darren and I are going to try to go to the fair on Thursday.
Which one?
OC Fair.
OC Fair.
Because they're doing Taste of the Fair, which is fucking dope. They do, like, between noon and 4, you can go to, like, most of the booths, and they have, like, a Taste of the Fair special. So if they're doing, like, chocolate-covered bacon, it's, like, usually...
And believe me, they are.
Yeah, but it's, like, $8 for, like, some chocolate-covered bacon or something. You can
I
get
want deep-fried beer.
But you can get Taste of the Fair things for, like, $3 at any booth. Like, they have some specials. Yeah. So you just walk across all the booths and give them $3, and you get whatever the magic thing is.
Smorgasbord of fair food.
Just fair food. And it's all you want. It's, like, small portions.
Fair food is just deep-fried bullshit.
It is. It's garbage. Yeah. Like, it's insane. It's
like someone
be
has
so
deep-fried space.
Yeah.
It's deep-fried air.
And that's like Dippin' Dots.
They probably have something for Chris this year. Deep-fried babies.
Yep, deep-fried babies you can shake.
Shaken. Mustard.
It's going to be
shake
nice.
And bake deep-fried babies.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, so fair. So if you guys want to come, you should come to the fair with us on Thursday.
I don't know.
You're out in OC
fair.
Anyway, so we're going to talk to Jed about it.
I've done be working, though.
Well,
you're,
no, like
no,
later
you're
on.
You're
going to
come
after
work.
I thought you said it was 12 to 4.
No, we'll be there 12 to 4 for the food.
No, it's,
fair,
it's 12 to midnight. Like
the fair is 12 to midnight.
Put
12
my,
to 4 for the food.
Put my pregnant wife on the zipper.
Oh, my God. We have to ride the zipper. That's our favorite stupid carnival ride. It's insane. It's so great.
It's pure nonsense.
It is. It's total nonsense. It's awesome.
I've never been.
Oh, shit. Speaking of which, did you see that video of that fucking carnival ride where, like, the car...
I didn't see the video.
...disengaged and just, like, went sailing out into the fucking...
I always feel like that's
going to
happen. I always think, fuck, I gotta look this up.
Well, it's part of the thrill of it.
So, yeah, it's just... It's this...
And it was at a state fair, too. It was, like, in Midwest
Ohio
or something.
State Fair, I think.
It wasn't one of the swing ones?
So, yeah, it's this, like, pendulum thing where, like, at the end of it, there's a bunch of cars full of people that spin...
No, like a huge.
It's like a centrifuge at the end where these people are spinning around and this thing just swings back and forth. I think it might even go upside down, like all the way around. And one of the cars on the spinning centrifuge just comes fucking sailing off into the street.
Oh, Jesus.
It's fucking nuts. It's like every horror scenario I've ever pictured being on a carnival ride. Like, they assemble these fucking things in like a day. They move this thing from town to town on a truck. And they just slam it together. I'm like, how the fuck do these things not fall apart all the time?
That's why people want to talk to me about how scary Six Flags is. And I'm like, fuck you. You go on the zipper at a state fair.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I'm like,
go on the zipper at the Mexican carnival down the street from my house. Like
first of all, every Six Flags ride, this shit is here every day.
Yeah.
It doesn't
very
move.
Well
yeah.
Maintained.
It's cemented into the ground.
Like, you think you're badass because you ride Tatsu? Like, you don't know shit, dude. Like, go to a fucking fair and ride some shitty carnival ride. I'll have so much more respect for you.
Tatsu is a dope ride.
Yes.
It is a great ride.
That being said, I got really high and went to Six Flags once. And we got on the front line or the front row of Tatsu. And the safety harness thing, it wouldn't, like, stay closed.
Nice.
The dude kept, like, I kept pulling it down, and it wouldn't, like, lock in place. And so, like, some service dude just comes by with this little, like, fireplace key thing and, like, pops it into the front, gives it a turn, and walks away. And, like, now it's locked in. And I'm like, why did he have to do that? Like, why didn't it just lock normal? And I'm high as shit, so I'm already kind of, like, on edge and paranoid and shit. And, like, if I don't know if you've ever been on Tatsu
before.
Yeah,
if anyone
hasn't
ridden Tatsu, it just puts your ass parallel to the ground.
Yeah, you're literally, like, facing
depending
the ground
on your
all
chest
your weight
support.
Is on your chest. Yeah. So this piece of equipment that is now, like, that wouldn't close before is the only thing holding me in at all. There's no seat to sit in. And, like, so the whole time, like, we're going up the, like, click, 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 you know, going up the hill. I'm just, like, eyeballing shit. I'm like, if this thing comes loose, I can make... Maybe I can make a jump for that tree there. And then, like, I'll take less damage. But... And there's...
I like that it's RPG.
Yeah.
I'll take damage.
If my XP is high enough, I can roll. No, but...
Do a sick roll.
And there's, but there, and
you
there's
stand
a,
up and fucking just finger point at everybody. Like,
and there's a bunch of points like where
that'd be the longest ride up a roller coaster.
It was
thing
the
life.
Worst. The whole time I'm like fuck.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of moments where, actually a number of moments where it does like these barrel rolls or it swings out to where your chest is on the outside and centrifugal force is trying to throw you out.
Yeah.
And again, that thing is the only piece that's holding you in. And I'm like, if he didn't do a good job turning the thing, I'm fucked. And I can't stop thinking about it. The whole time I'm just like, fuck. Like the entire ride, I was losing my shit. Yeah, it was a nightmare.
Did the bar pop up afterwards or did he have to unlock it again?
No, I think it came up on its own after the ride.
And I'm wondering, in your paranoid mind, you had to have been thinking, like, is there, like, a button they push to make one thing just come loose? But, like, the guy came and did a manual
Maybe
over
they could,
like,
tell, because, like, I don't...
Like, if someone's being a really dick customer, they're just like...
I also don't wear high well. Like, if I'm stoned, motherfuckers can tell. Like, I've walked into a room full of, like, complete strangers, and I had people be like, oh, shit, that dude is
you know that paranoia you get when you're high, and you think, like, everybody knows. They know I'm high. Like, that's true.
Yeah, but they actually know.
Yeah, it's actually true. You just look at him, and you're like...
spells it out.
Yeah. So there was probably, there's a good chance the dude just working the panel's like, oh shit, hang on. About to turn off homeboy's belt.
I remember having like a super fucked up high experience at a Knott's Berry Farm with Matt Eberhardt and our friend Alex, and we were just like fucked up. And I remember we went on Silver Bullet, which is like one of the dopest roller coasters at Knott's. It's actually like
it's pretty
totally
good. One of their better
Silver Bullet. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, we got on that, and I just remember I was
Accelerator, but
Accelerator's a lot of fun too.
Accelerator's dope. Was Silver Bullet later?
Silver Bullet has more loops and
I may have been right after. So it was like very close by.
I haven't been to Knott's forever.
I just remember when we went onto that ride, and I was like, fine. I got up there, and I was like, I'm fucked. Like, I'm so high right now. And I got on the ride, and I was like, uh-oh. The whole way up, I was like, oh, shit. We smoked too much.
Yeah. It's being on a roller coaster high is an unnerving experience. It's something, like, I've gotten pretty comfortable with roller coasters in general over the years, and I'm just like, yeah, they're fine. They're like, I enjoy them, but I never get scared anymore. But if you get stoned first, it's like the first time again. You're like, oh shit, like this could go sideways real easy.
Yeah, that's why people smoke heroin.
Is that why they do it?
This is why people,
not because it feels amazing.
No, this is why people eventually move on to heroin, because they're like, yeah, roller coasters are fucking cool. Like, they're whatever. I don't know. They didn't really do it for me anyway.
Yeah.
You start smoking a gang of weed, and you're like, well, that's fine. I kind of tapered out. Like, I understand it. You're just like,
but roller coasters on heroin.
Yeah, who knows? Roller coasters on heroin.
Dude, let's get a bunch of black tar and go to Six Flags.
Down, let's do it.
the weed thing, actually, I would like, because after I turned 22-ish, somewhere in there, loved roller coasters as a kid, and then started getting motion sickness as an adult.
Oh, no.
Yeah, plus I'm, like, almost 6'4", so, like, getting onto a lot of the roller coasters, like, you don't really fucking fit in them. Like,
Really?
I'm riding Batman, and, like, 2/3 of my legs are hanging off the fucking seat. So, I'm like, you're getting cramps and shit.
This is the saddest story I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, they gotta up their size shit,
I
you know?
Love roller coasters.
I did.
I think their size is just fine.
John is like 5'7" for the record.
Fuck you, John.
Fucking size queen.
Tall people have to deal with this shit all the time. We can't find jeans that fit, and we can't go on roller coasters.
Short people can't find jeans that fit either. I'm very weirdly built. I have like really kind of like wide thighs and like short legs and shit. So like they don't make pants for people like
Same
me.
Here. I have a length of like 30, which is just an odd fucking length.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I was, because I'm 6 feet tall, and I remember, and not just that, but I'm all legs. Like, I have a short torso and very long legs, and I remember when I was growing up, it was not a possibility. Like, I had a couple of places that I could buy pants from that had long inseams, but it was still kind of a new idea. Nowadays, I can find pants fucking anywhere. It's like people finally started adapting to it, but it's either that or I just, like, live in yoga pants, so maybe I just don't really understand what's out there anymore.
That's all well and good, but when's the last time you went to Six Flags?
Actually, last time I went to Six Flags was probably like 2 or 3 years ago. It's been a while.
And you were able to
You're a Disney person. There's Disney people and there's Six Flags people.
Yeah, I'm a Disney person, and then I just got my Universal Studios annual pass. I just got that.
Annual pass? Why the fuck would you get a Universal annual
pass?
Because
you buy a one-day admission and it's pretty much an annual pass.
Oh, yeah. I guess Disney is like the only one that does.
And not only that, but I will say Universal Studios, I hadn't been there in probably 10 years, and Evan and I went and had a fucking blast. We had so much fun, primarily because they have Simpsons World, and Simpsons World is where it's at.
Well, I know they had the ride, but like, did they
expand on that? It's a whole thing. They have like Moe's. They've got a Moe's Tavern. Everything there is just Simpsons. There's a whole Simpsons land to hang out in.
I thought it was just the ride.
It's just the ride, but as far as like, they've got food spots, and you can meet like all the characters and stuff, and it's like you get to walk into Springfield for a little bit. Like, it's a whole it's a whole village that's themed like it. There's not really anything to do there, but there's a lot of food. You can get a beer over at Moe's Tavern. Like, there's stuff like that.
Do they have a Quickie Mart?
Yes, you get a Quickie Mart. Yeah, the Quickie Mart is... Yeah, I think that's where they have... That's like the gift shop, I think. But they had some... Oh my God, my favorite fucking purchase. Because we went there, it was Evan's birthday, so I wanted to do something for his birthday. And I took him over there, and the best find we found in the whole fucking Simpsons land was I think it was at the Quickie Mart gift shop, but we walked in there, and they had the keychains, the name keychains.
They have Bort keychains.
I got him Bort for his birthday. We had a fucking
Bort. My son is also named Bort.
There was a Bort keychain. I fucking lost it. It was so cool.
All right, not to be just crazily changing subjects, but judges showed me a headline that says, "Man stabbed 7 times during Magic the Gathering game."
Yes!
And the description says, the victim was also hit with a rubber mallet.
Oh, my God. This is the story I've been waiting for. What state was this in?
And I kind of wonder if the mallet came first or after. Like, 7 stabs, and it's like, hold on, we're not done.
Oh, my God. This is incredible.
Yeah, where was this shit?
There's a 31-year-old, too, that did this.
Of course it was. This was a grown-ass man.
This was probably my roommate.
This was probably either of your roommates.
No, it was definitely George.
It was probably George.
Was
this George? Did George? I'm actually kind of worried. Did George do this?
Shit, I got to call
31-year-old Elijah Dale Cheech. Has been arrested by police in Minnesota following a fight over a game of Magic the Gathering, in which his 20-year-old opponent was stabbed 7 times in the face and neck.
What a fucking dick!
As the local Fox outlet reports, a disagreement that began during the late-night game last Friday quickly escalated.
This dude takes his magic pretty serious.
They all do, that's why it's amazing. Magic.
Who brings a knife to a game of Magic?
Every person I know who plays Magic probably brings a knife to
I said the last name wrong. It's Creech.
Oh, Creech. Okay. Creech. That makes sense.
Hitting the man in the face with a rubber mallet and stabbing him 7 times.
Was there an order of operations listed there?
Sounded like he hit him in the face first with a rubber mallet.
Did he have a rubber mallet?
Who knows? They just wailed on him. He just wailed on him with a knife.
The first comment on this article, is this considered against the rules or just a shift in tactics?
Oh, internet.
Oh, my God.
Fucking A.
Fucking
magic. Oh, my God. And then following that, I'm sorry, I don't mean to go into this chain.
Let's just read the entire thread.
Not a popular tactic due to high mana cost.
Oh, no.
Of course.
Wait. And we thought GTA was bad. Magic
Magic's where it's at now. Magic's the most violent game.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Someone
warn
George next time he's playing.
We're going to have to sit him down and talk to him.
No, he's probably already heard about it.
George probably did the stabbing.
So you know a grown man who still plays Magic the Gathering?
We know too many.
Unfortunately,
many grown
all
men.
Three of my grown roommates still
yes.
play fucking
they
Magic.
All play. We have another Chris oh, yeah. who plays.
Of course you do.
Yeah. There's. We do? Well, you know yeah. him too. I don't
Jacob
know.
Smurf.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
We know a lot of people who play.
Of course.
I'm sure.
Soviet.
Soviet. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a lot.
We can't cure them of it. I don't know how to do it.
It's a weird thing.
But it's yeah, really it's weird. Like every other weekend, I'll come home. It's like a Saturday. There'll be seven people in my kitchen playing Magic. And I'm like, God,
that's so sad.
And they always want me to play with them. And I've played a couple games with them. And I'm like, all right, to learn this game, there's like 10,000 fucking cards. Like for me to be able to formulate a strategy that could actually compete with something you do, I'll have to spend months like just memorizing all this shit.
Memorizing and stuff. That's my thing against the game. It's like, I love games. Like, I love board games. I love having things to do with my friends.
I like a board game that I can, or a game that I can play within 20 minutes or less.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Easy to learn, hard to master.
It's
like,
when you have to actively involve this like childish game in your life. That's the thing. I'm like, all right, fucking nerd. Like, it's time for you to go get fucked. Like,
what I found more annoying, they wrote me in and
Organ stabbed.
I played one game and I always made fun of this one card that I like to call the eggplant hippo. It looks like an eggplant hippo. And I was like, give me a deck with that. And all I was like some healer. And I was like, I'm playing the game. I'm like, I'm not doing shit except for helping you guys.
I'm just healing everybody.
What the fuck's the point of me playing right now?
Yeah, I don't understand it. I've grown up
and
my brother is really into it, but he was a fucking child when he was into it.
Yeah.
And then he like,
he's like, I'm going to stop doing this and go make money and fuck bitches.
Yeah, he just moved on.
Like, I've seen one game of Magic happen where I was actually entertained by what went down. And it was like, because Alan, one of my roommates, constructed this weird-ass bullshit deck just to exploit certain inconveniences in the game. So he lays out this combo, and then everyone at the table like is figuring out what he's done, and he says, well, yeah, what you have to do now is you have to roll these dice like 600 times to calculate all this shit out. And everyone just goes, no, we're not, the game's over.
You just win. Okay,
like,
we're not doing
that's
that.
That's kind of dope, but
yeah, like, but don't get me wrong, I love nerd shit, but it just, when it really gets into your life and it really starts becoming something that has to take over your life for you to stay actively involved in it, I'm like, it may be time to start like letting it like go for a hike.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you
just
need to go
just
do
take
some
your
shit.
Ass outside.
Once you start following the rules in Grand Theft Auto and not stabbing people or hanging up with a mallet.
I think that's really
just
the
hanging con- out,
I
going guess- to buying shirts and like walking and
I think that's really
driving
been
the speed
the
limit.
Consensus of this entire podcast this week has been like, play games, get high at theme parks, but like, just keep it together. Just don't let it involve your life too much. Don't play GTA the correct way.
The short
like,
version is
it.
Just get high and do what you want. Do drugs, do whatever you want. But don't kill people.
Shoot up
don't
some
play
heroin,
magic.
Get on a tattoo.
Don't play magic.
Darren's been gay. I've been Christian.
I've been gay.
I've been turgid.
I've been in the
bathroom.
Stay with the juice, bitch. I stay with some blues. If a nigga jump dumb, put his face on the news. If the bitch wanna fuck, then my gang coming too. Like a one-word response, we got K's with us too. Hey, and I need all pros. And I'ma sip on this mud cause my dog gone. Tucked off on these niggas like I'm Waldo. And bitch, we gon' stay with the juice till it's all gone.